Wayne and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. David Reed producing the program, doing a great job. And Ryan Leaf is the next guy to join us. You've heard Ryan on this station a bunch of times. We usually catch up with Ryan at the Super Bowl. Ryan, this COVID thing has knocked out all of our chance to go hang out in Tampa and watch Tom Brady play a home Super Bowl game, man. I hate that, but it's good talking to you.
It's good talking to you, too. How you been?
Been great. Let's start with this, because I was reading a tweet earlier. You were talking about Tom Brady and his greatness, and people need to recognize his greatness. And, you know, I was trying to think of the term for him, and this is what I wrote down. Maybe he's the ultimate pro. Is that a fair way to describe Tom Brady?
Yeah, that's kind of how I was trending in the direction there, was he's just been the most professional athlete that I can imagine, at least from the football aspect of things, right? His TB12 concept of how he goes about his life, right? He came into the league, he saw himself when he got the starting role as the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, which it's become, which he has become, no matter where he goes. And he's acted accordingly, right? It's about nutrition. It's about all the things that make you the most optimal professional athlete possible. So you can play as long as he has and been as effective and efficient as he has. I think he's the perfect example of that.
Is it crazy to think, because you guys are basically the same age, that that guy's about to try to play and win another Super Bowl?
Yes, it's incredibly hard to imagine. I made a jokingly self-deprecating tweet the other day about how my last college game was against him. He was on the sideline for the Michigan Wolverines at Rose Bowl, and now he goes out and throws, you know, three touchdowns and wins another conference championship, and I strain Mike to go on a hike. So, yeah, it's humorous. And it's so impressive to watch what he's done year to year and on a week-to-week basis, especially somebody who is about the same age.
Joined by a former NFL quarterback, former Washington State quarterback Ryan Leaf, now with the Believe in Pac-12 podcast. Catch all the latest on the Pac-12 with Ryan and the Believe in Pac-12 podcast. He joins Blaine Bishop and me right now.
Well, Ryan, thanks for coming on. This is Blaine, and after you guys beat us at Vanderbilt when we tried to blitz you all over the place, and you said, oh, okay, it's easy. Just throw it up here with my big arm. It'll be pretty easy to decipher. So I wanted to give you acknowledgement there. But we need to start from the beginning, because I think people need to hear your story. You know, tell us, I guess, from the beginning, you know, of your, let's say, sporting career as a youngster in Montana, to then all the way to, in a Cliff Note version, to tell us about people then, you know, giving you the term bust as a professional athlete.
Well, you know this better than anybody, how difficult it is to get to where we got to. And you never hear a peer-to-peer using that word, because we just know how hard it is. And it's usually the media and it's fans and skeptics, but it's something that just hung over my head for so long. And I internalized that. And, you know, it made me feel less than. It made me feel judged at all the time. And until I could actually confront that word, kind of confront the person in the mirror, you know, I wasn't going to be able to evolve in my development as a, you know, as an adult. Really was arrested, and when I finally came to realize who I am and that's good enough, that's when I became about helping other people and being of service. And it's changed my life. You guys have been a part of it and seen how it's transformed every year when we see each other at the Super Bowl. And in 2021, after going through what everybody went through in 2020, I've really actively attempted to be more about the foundational living that I had gotten to when I got out of prison and started up. I felt like I had taken that for granted a little bit the last year, you know, working a lot, traveling around the country with ESPN and doing things like that. And this has given me another opportunity to refocus and make it about other people this year, and the importance of being there for one another during a worldwide pandemic and anything else that's going on.
And to add to that, we're on with Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback and what, number two pick overall. I guess if you want to give advice, now we're in the social media era for these young athletes and, you know, the thing can get so crazy and out of whack. How would you or what advice would you give them to dealing with social media and all the negativity and criticism that comes on social media?
Just an affirmation my therapist and I use. You know, she started having me use it about 5 years ago. And it's as simple as this. You look at yourself in the mirror every morning and you say what other people think of me. It's none of my business. And it's really difficult at first and you really don't believe it. But I guarantee it, anybody out there who tries this every morning, if you do it for a year, 365 days every morning in the mirror, I guarantee it, just like any other muscle in your body, your brain is going to train itself and you will believe it. And I do. I still do it every single day because it's not about what other people think at this point or ever, really. It's about the people that I care about, the people that unconditionally love me, and the people I'm trying to help through this process is what it's all about. And those are also things you just can't control. So those are the things I always tell the guy, make it about somebody else. Like, make it about somebody other than yourself, too, when you're doing something that usually draws that ego, that narcissism, that out of you, even though you are on a pedestal most of the time because you're a professional athlete. Take those things into consideration when you're making this jump, this leap to the next level.
Well, I want to talk real quickly before I throw it back to Mickey about, you know, being, if you were Aaron Rodgers, imagine that you're Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur runs on the field goal unit there with 2 minutes left. What would you have done to not have the field goal unit on the football field? What would you have done?
Well, I you know, I made a comment about this on Sunday, too. Like, if I saw it happening, if I saw Matt LaFleur making that decision, and if I see Mason Crosby running out there, I'm standing my ground, right? I'm putting my hands up and I'm saying, hell no. Get your butts back there. We're not putting this in the hands of Tom Brady to just leak away the rest of this clock. If we're going to lose, I'm going to do it in my hands. I'm the leader of this team. I'm going to be the reigning MVP. It's going to be on me. And, I mean, that may have been one of the worst coaching decisions I've ever seen and one of the biggest moments. And I have heard from some friends of mine that were in that locker room post game. There were some angry, angry players, towards Matt LaFleur, and, you know, cooler heads have prevailed, of course, but it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Green Bay Packers.
We're on with Ryan Leaf, that works for SiriusXM, college football NFL analyst, and for the Pac-12 podcast, Ryan Leaf.
Ryan, how in the world can anybody stop this Kansas City offense? Or do you just try to, like, steal possessions maybe and just hope you have the ball one more time than them and maybe you try to figure out a way to possibly outscore them?
Okay, so as most analysts and as most former players, I don't think we've ever seen something like this, where they are as efficient as anybody. They have the best player in the league on this team. So, and I said it about the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, they had to go into this game with a completely different mindset. And it's so hard for Sean McDermott, who has to think in his mind, we are really good, right? We are really good. We got the AFC Championship. What we do works. What we do works. And so, therefore, let's do what we do best. But guess what? There's nothing you can do against the firepower of the Chiefs. You can't. So you have to completely think outside the box. You have to be uncomfortable with your choices. You have to discard everything you did. And that means going for it on fourth down. That means not kicking a field goal. Not once. I don't care when it is. You do not kick field goals. You only attempt to go for touchdowns. You have to steal possessions like you talked about. Onside kicks. Fake punts. Completely different. And there's no other reason to do this other than the fact that the Chiefs are who they are. Anybody else, you could go into a game. Bruce Arians is going to do that. You watched him happen. If he doesn't throw that, you know, if he throws that ball to Scotty Miller and he drops it at the end of the second quarter, they don't get any points at all. You know, so they're willing to risk it. They talked about that. That's how you have to beat this Chiefs team. And hope for some good bounces. Hope for some good luck. Them to turn over the football, which they don't do a lot. But you have to be completely uncomfortable in your decision making. And a lot of these young coaches in these moments, Kevin Stefanski and then Sean McDermott, unwilling to make those decisions down the stretch.
With Ryan Leaf, as you look at this game in a couple of weeks, you know, Andy Reid coming off a bye week is its own series of problems for the other team, but certainly the Bucs defense got after Aaron Rodgers, and they did a fantastic job of really containing him in the Packers offense. Can they do enough? And if the Buccaneers are willing, like you said, to take some chances, can they make this a close game? Can they win?
Well, they're going to have to do what I just said. And then Todd Boyles and that defense is going to have to play as good as they can. Getting back Antoine Winfield Jr. will be huge. So we'll see. It's going to be really hard for anybody to think in their mind that, like, how can Tom Brady not do it, right? How can he not win another championship? But I'm of the mindset, and I'm pretty pragmatic about this, there's nothing better than what the Kansas City Chiefs have put on the field the last 2 years. It's not. The defense has improved greatly. They're averaging, like, I don't know, 19, 20 points allowed a game. And when you have a team like the Chiefs who can just score at will, whatever, you're holding the team to 19 or 20 points, you know, it's game over. It's game over. But I will not dismiss Tom Brady just by hand because how good the Chiefs are. I'm not going to do it. But I can't figure out how the Chiefs lose this football game. So I got the Chiefs, no matter what, you know, kind of what the spread is. It's not astronomical. I'm gonna roll with the Chiefs no matter what.
Well, I'm with Ryan Leaf, former NFL college quarterback at Ryan D. Leaf on Twitter, if you want to follow him there.
Ryan, I have to ask you, with all these, I guess, running and launch angles from the quarterbacks throwing the football, seems like the wave is going away from the modern-day big-arm quarterback. But if you were still playing today, what quarterback do you think your game would be much more like than any other player?
Well, I'm probably Josh Allen. You know, I was big, I was kind of a country boy. You know, I was more athletic than people thought. I think that's probably kind of the player I would have liked to have been, or at least that's the kind of player I was in college. But you know, I think people get it twisted a little bit in terms of arm angles and stuff like that. Every quarterback's always been doing this. I don't know why it's so like it's reinventing the wheel to watch Patrick Mahomes go out there and no-look somebody or throw it kind of from the hip. We've all done that our whole career. That's what we have. I don't know why. Maybe it's because social media exists and everything is so much more influenced and contextualized. I don't know. But it's not like Patrick Mahomes has reinvented the wheel. He has been more efficient than I think anybody ever has in terms of being able to do the ball, throw the ball down the field, midfield, and short, and do it with different things. We give him a lot of credit for it. But let's not, you know, let's just not go like, oh my God, this quarterback position has been reinvented. It's been the same for a very, very long time.
Well, let's stick with quarterbacks. Naturally, I'm a Titan guy, and that means it leads me to, when you watch Ryan Tannehill and it's Tannehill time, what's your evaluation of him without meeting him? And I don't know if you met him or not or have a conversation with him, but what do you see in his talents?
Who is this?
Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback for the Titans.
Okay. I think that move they made a year ago to bring him in, I think it was huge, right? In Arthur Smith's offense, that will be the tricky thing. What will it look like a year from now without Arthur Smith calling the shots? Because he was really special in how he got Ryan Tannehill in play action, utilizing Derrick Henry to run the football and set that all up. So I'll be interested to see what that looks like minus Arthur Smith next year. But I think, you know, he's been a perfect answer to the Tennessee Titans and what they like to do offensively, kind of that identity under Mike Vrabel. And I expect good things from him moving forward, especially in the AFC South.
All right, with all bets off, and let's just say they're all in the middle of their careers. I'm going to just use these guys in their current players. Rodgers, that's Aaron, that is. Deshaun Watson and Matthew Stafford, guys who potentially may be on the market. We don't know if some are, will not be. If you had to build your franchise, which one of those guys would you pick?
And easy. Why? It's easy, absolutely easy. But Aaron Rodgers,
yes.
other than his ability, you know, he hasn't been able to get himself into the big game, but that one time, you know, he may be the greatest quarterback to ever play because of the ease he makes it look, his smarts, his athletic ability, all of those things. So definitely him. Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere, people, and either is right. Deshaun Watson. I know a lot of people think that. The cap hit, everything is going to, it's going to be take a king's ransom. It's going to be Mike Ditka offering up the whole draft down in New Orleans type of thing to get Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry to say, but he's not moving anywhere. And Matthew Stafford's the only one I could actually really see moving. But that is up to the Detroit Lions. They're going to get compensation for him. They're just not going to ship him off and say, good luck, buddy, win a championship. They're going to get, equitable compensation back, and that may not be what Matthew Stafford wants, right? He might not want to go to Houston. He may not want to go, you know, someplace where they don't have a chance to win a championship. Otherwise, it's just him languishing in Detroit for another year. So it should be an interesting offseason, I'll give you that.
I guess one more for me, and that is, you know, I love evaluating quarterbacks' talent and they project on what they will become, like most positions, but the quarterback's the most important position. What are some red flags if you got to sit down and have conversations with a player that's a quarterback that you say, uh-oh, I don't know if he'll have very much success in the National Football League, but he's off the charts with all the other, you know, I guess, physical traits. What would be some of those mental traits that would probably concern you?
I think it's rare this day and age with the amount of scrutiny and mm-hmm. public scrutiny and microscopes and all that. It's rare to see quarterbacks not prepared mentally for this. It ultimately is about what they can do physically on the football field and how they can deal with failure, because most of them have been successful throughout their careers in college. What happens when they go to a team like the, you know, in Sam Darnold's situation, he goes to the Jets and they struggle so poorly, right? They're just a bad team, you know. He's used to winning at USC and being successful and winning Rose Bowls and things like that. So that's the bigger question for me. You know, I was hesitant on Tua last year. Was really up on Justin Herbert. And so, you know, it all depends. I don't think anybody's not ready for the spotlight anymore, because it's just too much. You're not able to hide anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf of Sirius XM, college football and NFL analyst.
With that being said, Ryan, is Trevor Lawrence your clear-cut number one guy in this year's draft, a quarterback? And I'd be curious, who's your number two?
Trevor Lawrence is by far the number one overall draft pick, in my opinion. Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, they would really do themselves a disservice if they weren't able to land him and make them their franchise quarterback. He's got stuff to improve on, like everybody else, but he may be the most complete prospect since probably Andrew Luck at the quarterback position. You know, and then it's up in the air, right? I mean, is Justin Fields a guy that goes to that position? Are we talking about him as a guy to the Jets, or what are the Miami Dolphins going to do? Is Zach Wilson, who's looked really impressive on film, is he the next guy? I don't know. You know, you're not going to be able to do great evaluation this year in terms of scouting because of the pandemic we're continuously going through. Then it's a question of where else you look. Now, I'm always looking for, like, the emerald or diamond in the rough. And my guy is out of Stanford, a guy named Davis Mills, a guy that I would have liked to see come back. A lot of people think he has the most talent since Luck at Stanford. He's got first-round talent, but he chose to come out early. And he may fall, you know, anywhere to the third, fourth, fifth round. And if that's the case, you know, what kind of team picks them up? And is it a real steal for somebody later in a round that they may get their quarterback for the future? So it should be pretty interesting. But Trevor Lawrence is by far the best out there, and Jacksonville's going to go get the best guy in the draft.
Ryan, thanks for the time today, man. We appreciate it. At Ryan D. Leaf on Twitter, Believe and Pac-12 on the Believe Podcast Network. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it, Ryan.
You bet, fellas. Have a great day. Enjoy Nashville.